Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson I just read from Luke chapter 9. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes during the sermon this morning, you'll find those written notes on page 3 in your bulletin. Our spiritual focus in worship this morning, as perhaps you have already noted on the front cover of your bulletin, is how we are called to live as followers of Jesus. As a community following Jesus, we are called to listen to Jesus and then to respond to him. Two words can characterize our relationship with Jesus in this regard: invitation and challenge. Invitation and challenge are two words that help us think about that listening to Jesus and then responding. When we think of invitation in our relationship with Jesus, we think of grace, mercy, comfort, belonging, being a part of God's family. We think of baptism, God's wonderful gift, where we are received by God's grace into his family, where we are given our identity as baptized children of God, and our sins are washed away. We think of communion, where Jesus is both the host and the meal and graciously gives us his body and his blood. When we think of challenge in terms of our relationship with Jesus, we think of commitment, the cost of discipleship, denial of self. We think of some of the so-called hard words or hard sayings of Jesus that call us to a high level of obedience and faithfulness. We think of the challenge to live into our identity as a son or a daughter of the King. As we consider the Bible, we rejoice to see that Jesus is highly invitational. Think of some of the beautiful invitational words that Jesus speaks as recorded in the Bible. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Or these words describing Jesus: a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. We see a Jesus who loves all and receives all and desires all to be saved. That explains the first part of our gospel lesson this morning from Luke chapter 9, where when Jesus and his disciples come to this Samaritan village and the Samaritans in that village do not receive Jesus and his disciples, James and John come up with the brilliant idea of saying to Jesus, "Hey Jesus, how about if we call down fire from heaven to destroy these people?" And Jesus' immediate response is to rebuke his disciples, to remind them that their ministry is not about calling down the wrath of God on others, but rather to invite, to welcome, to love in the name of Jesus. Time after time in the Gospels, we see Jesus welcoming and inviting and receiving others. Rejoice again today that Jesus has welcomed you and received you into his family, the baptized children of God. But Jesus is also highly challenging. Jesus' words in the second half of our gospel lesson this morning fit that category, and I bet that your ears perked up just a little bit as you heard some of those challenging words of Jesus. Listen again to a few of them. To another, Jesus said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." We can try to water down these words of Jesus or their meaning to make them more palatable to our ears, but there is no question that here Jesus is speaking words of challenge. Or consider these challenging words of Jesus from elsewhere in the Gospels. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The point is that Jesus is both highly invitational and highly challenging. The reality is that we tend to pick one or the other, invitational or challenging. So it was in Martin Luther's day that it was very heavily skewed toward the challenging aspect of thinking about God, so much so that in his younger years, Martin Luther despaired of ever finding a gracious and loving God. He was led to moments of great despair and feelings of unworthiness. And as you might imagine, today the pendulum has swung very heavily in the opposite direction, and pretty much the only thing we think about in terms of God is the invitational aspect. God is love, love, peace, comfort. The problem is, while we tend to pick one or the other, Jesus is both, and he calls us to both. When we overemphasize the challenging aspect of our relationship with God, we tend to elicit despair or works righteousness. We turn Jesus into a harsh lawmaker and taskmaster. But when we overemphasize the invitational aspect of relationship with Jesus, we tend to elicit complacency, apathy, a sense of, it doesn't matter how I live or what I do because, well, I'm saved anyway. Our second lesson shows us how this invitational and challenging nature of relationship with Christ works together. How important it is to see Jesus as both invitational and challenging. In our second lesson, Paul speaks of freedom. You and I have been set free in Christ by his undeserved love, by his grace. That's invitational language. By God's grace, you and I have been received into God's family. We have our identity as baptized children of God, and we live under the freedom of the gospel by grace. We are free. But Paul warns against that freedom turning into licentiousness, into the notion that I can just live as I please and do as I want. Instead, he writes this: "Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." And he goes on to call us, we who live in that freedom under Christ, to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to live a life characterized by the beautiful fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Invitation, you are free in Christ. May we hear and listen to both of those words from our Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.